decided to do a, somebody actually asked me a question about a particular passage, and the more I thought about it, I said, you know, this is going to fit real well. Because during this time of year, at least in this country, we set aside a time that we try to remember those who died before us. Now, how people remember us varies by the life that we live. And the question is, how will people remember you? I was looking through some examples. This is from an actual tombstone. It says, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies stingy, dreamy Wyatt, who died one morning just at 10 and saved a dinner by it. Can you imagine somebody writing that, and that's the way they want to remember you? Perhaps this one will be a little bit better. Sir John Strange, here lies an honest lawyer, and that is strange. Here lies Bernard Lightfoot, who was accidentally killed in the 45th year of his age. This monument was erected by his grateful family. A little more subtle, but she started wondering what they were grateful for. And one I really like, beneath the silent stone is laid a noisy, antiquated maid who from her cradle talked to death and never before was out of breath. Here lies, returned to clay, Miss Arabelle Young, who on the 11th day of May began to hold her tongue. They're humorous, but the point is, how will people remember you when you're gone? Will they remember you as being somebody stingy, or somebody honest, or somebody that they're relieved that you're not around anymore? And even before your death, you know, we travel, we move. How will people remember you? What is it that your reputation speaks? Over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God testifying through his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Think about it. How long has Abel been gone? Roughly about 6,000 years? Yet still there was a testimony that was left behind from the deeds that he did that we still remember him by. We still remember Abel as being a righteous man. That's quite a reputation. See, a good name is valuable. It's something that we should treasure. In Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 1, it says, a good name is to be desired more than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Why is it that you want a good name more than have a lot of wealth? Well, when you have a good reputation, when you have a good name, well, you can always gain wealth because people will trust you. I, for instance, would much rather deal with somebody I trust. I have a mechanic that I've used for years now. Never before have I found a mechanic who talked me out of repairs. And because of that, I trust him. And when he says, this is what needs to be done, okay, that really needs to be done. He gets a lot of my business, and I send a lot of people his way. And he knows it. That's fine. His reputation is what he builds his business on. That's why a good name is so valuable. more than the wealth you might have at the moment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and in verse 1 it says, a good name is better than good ointment, and a day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Ointment back then, oil-based products, were the way they did perfumes. And basically what he's saying is a good name is better than expensive perfume. Perfume can make you smell good for a while. But see, a good reputation lasts. It follows you for a long time. It can follow you even past death, as we've seen before. Back over in the Song of Solomon, that again is a point that's made. In Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 3, when we're first introduced to the heroine and Solomon himself, she says in verse 3, your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore the maidens love you. She's basically saying you smell good. But you know what's even better is that you have a great reputation. One that other people take notice of. We ought to have a good reputation. See, it's easy to think that we have to do something earth-shattering, that we have to do some big monumental project in order to have a great reputation. But in that scripture reading we had from Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9, the woman who broke the alabaster jar. Now, yes, it was expensive perfume. And some people were upset at it. But all she did was anoint Christ's head. It, in a sense, was a small act. I find this story particularly fascinating because the way it's presented in Mark, we don't even know the woman's name. But Christ said what she did will be told about it for years after, wherever the gospel is preached. Here it is 2,000 years later. We're still reading about her story and what she did. One small act tells us about a woman who was more knowledgeable than all the Pharisees and all the Jews and even the disciples, recognizing that Jesus was going to die. And she gave tribute. And after all those years, we still remember. Another person that had good reputation is in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 22. Acts 10, and in verse 22, says, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel and sent for you to come over to the house and hear a message from you. Think about what, this is not what Cornelius says about himself. This is what somebody else says about Cornelius. He's a godly man. He's well spoken of. He has a reputation among all the Jews. That's even more impressive since he's a Gentile. And Jews actually don't like Gentiles. But he had a good reputation. See, a reputation goes a ways. It reaches out. It paves the way even before you reach in the door. It goes before you. People know about you. People hear about you. What kind of reputation do you have? Sometimes that reputation is given to us. Abraham was given a reputation by God. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 2, God made a promise to Abraham. We often talk about the the land promise, the number of children that he was to receive. But notice in verse 2, Genesis chapter 12, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." Abraham was promised that his name would be famous. He would have a great reputation. Now, how did he get it? He had to go through some trials. He had to go through difficulties. He had his faith tested beyond what most of us could possibly endure. But God gave him a reputation so that we know Abraham as the father of faith. And even thousands of years later, it's been about a little over 4,000 years since Abraham's been around, most people know who Abraham is. They might not know the Bible very well, they might not be Christians, but a lot of people know Abraham. Long after he was dead. See, God promised his followers a name that would never be lost. Over in Isaiah chapter 56, Isaiah 56, and starting with verse 5, says, "To them I will give my house and within my walls a memorial, and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, which will not be cut off." God promises us a reputation, a name that will precede us, something that would always be there. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval," or gained a reputation. How is it that God gives us a name that's always remembered? One idea is through faith. That's how people did it of old. They absolutely trusted in God, and that left a reputation behind. We still have that aspect of it. Even in the nations around us, it ought to be, and it should be, and it oftentimes is, that people would like to do business with somebody who professes to be a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian, that's, you know, you can almost see it. Well, that goes up one notch on the scale. We have a lot of people ruining the reputation of Christ. But that's what it's supposed to be about. When a person confesses to be Christ's follower, they understand the standards that Christ set, and they say they're reaching for something beyond them. In that same chapter, down in verse 39, "All these have gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not have been made perfect." They gained a reputation through their faith. They never gained what was promised, because it didn't leave out us. We're a part of it. A lot of times it's easy to read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and think about, oh, you know, those days are past. Just me. The reason why the Hebrew writer wrote about those men is that they were just men like you and me. And they just demonstrated great faith, and we can too. It's not beyond our capabilities, because it wasn't beyond other people's capabilities. We can have a reputation like them. because that's the way God designed it. See, Jesus built a better covenant back in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, he says, "Now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. By as such he has also been the mediator of a better covenant that's enacted on better promises." We have something beyond what has ever been offered before. All the time the Jews lived, they had a promise that one day there would be salvation if they lived right. We are offered salvation if we do right. We are told exactly what is waiting for us. We're waiting for heaven. That promise was given. How do we know that's there? God's always kept his promises. We have better promises. Because by this covenant we can be saved. Jumping back to chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, and in verse 19 it says, "For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God." There's a better hope, a better promise. The hope of being saved forever and having eternal life. See, God said that we would have a name, a reputation that would last forever. Now, sometimes that word means just for a really long time. But over in Hebrews chapter 12, we find out he's really talking about forever. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 23, talking to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of righteousness made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Abel had a reputation that's lasted thousands and thousands of years of righteous living. The church is a place where our names can be recorded in heaven, where our reputation will go forever and ever. Because we are marked as belonging to God. Take a look at Revelation chapter 3. And in verse 12. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. "He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and my new name." We are promised to be written on with the name of God, the name of our Savior. We are promised to be given a reputation as belonging to God. I didn't forget to get this verse on the chart, but in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. Luke 10 and verse 20. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." What should make us happy? I've run into so many people, "Oh, if I can just get a new car, then I'll be happy. If I can't stop fighting with my wife, then I'll be happy." Or what? They'll name all sorts of external things. "I'll pass my test, then I'll be happy." No. What should make us happy is the reputation that God has given us. a memory of who we are. That we are doing what is right. See, happiness is a choice. It's not something that happens to you. It's what you choose to be. Because that reputation is so valuable, we ought to protect that reputation. Over in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, therefore, do not let what is a good thing be spoken of as evil. You have a good reputation. You are a Christian. Don't smear that name. We have so many people who claim to be Christ and then they live in a totally unrighteous life. Don't be one of those. Protect the reputation of the name that God's given to you. People ought to think something special of a Christian. You ought to think something special of being a child of God. Now, there are going to be people who just plain out don't like people who are good. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and starting with verse 4, it says, in all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you, and they will give an account to him who was ready to judge the living and the dead. Just because you're good, there are people that are going to speak evil of you. That's fine. When Paul says, don't let if you're good be spoken of evil, he's not talking about those type of people. Don't give them a reason, a justification to call you evil or to call what you do evil. Make sure you stand up for what is right. Going back to chapter 3 of that same book, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's what he's talking about when he says, don't let your good be considered evil. Keep doing the good. We have no reason to compromise. See, a reputation for doing good is what stands, not a reputation for doing what is popular. There's so many people that are aiming for the popular. As Christians, we are aiming for the good. What do people remember you as? See, we ought to be people who love the truth. Over in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, and starting with verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Have a reputation that your parents would look at and say, I'm so glad he's my son or she's my daughter. That's what we're striving for. See, we want to have that God finds each of us someone precious in his sight. In Psalms 116, there's an interesting statement. Psalms 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. God pays attention to those who follow. And even our passing is precious to God. And we'd like to make our parents proud. But God is our Heavenly Father. And we ought to have a name that makes Him proud to have us as His children. And when we're doing what is right, over in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, I'm going to start with verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Does it matter if people don't like you because you're righteous or you're doing what is right? No. They can't do anything to you. They can't change who you are. Does it matter if we do something wrong? Yes. Because that besmears our name. It besmirches the name of God. We ought to have a reputation of doing what is right, holding on to truth, so that our names are recorded in heaven, and then it doesn't matter what happens. I know where I stand before God. We ought to have a good name. I hope you'll think about those things today. We'd like to offer an opportunity as we gather here each time. There's always an opportunity to become a child of God, to enter into His family, to become His people, to wear the name of Christ. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. Now, if there's anyone here who is a child of God, we'd like to pray as their brethren on the behalf. Why don't you come forward and be standing and sing the song of the selection.